It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Right, we declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Phoenix with an S, PhoenixPhoenix.com. All right, that's what we're going to do. We have Ole Peter. All right, Davi, how does he say his last name?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I just call him Ole. It's hard. You got to get him to say it in his authentic accent.
Ole, give me how you say it. Do it.
I can do it.
All right, so my name is Ole Peter Høie.
Wait, you gotta do that really slow, man.
Yeah, I don't hold your hopes up, you know, it's not an easy name, so sorry about that.
Okay, so go ahead and pull away a little bit from the microphone. It's over-modulating a little bit, wherever it is. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and do, we'll call him Ole. Ole is an autodidact. Okay, say that for me, autodidact.
It's autodidact.
Which means what?
It means a person who teaches themselves.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those words only an autodidact would know.
I know. Okay. All right. An autodidact, voluntarist, lifelong gamer, and self-educated entrepreneur, Ole started his first company from scratch at age 22, selling products to 10 countries at 26. Ole began his adventures in video games in 04 by successfully registering Machine Dance, based on Dance Dance Revolution, as an official sport in Norway. An official sport. He's then hosted 6 European Machine Dance Championships with players from up to 19 countries, often receiving international media attention. He produced a dance game called iDance, which connects up to 32 players at the time that was used in several countries to fight childhood obesity and used in multiple university studies on cognitive ability, motivation, and learning. Ole was even invited to a panel debate on digital revolution at the first European Youth Conference at the European Parliament in 2014. In essence, Ole uses gaming platforms to spread ideas, teach players to solve their own challenges, and think for themselves, and otherwise engage people in fun and innovative ways. His latest project, called Story Games, employs voluntarist writers to produce interactive stories that exemplify voluntarist ideas. Ooh, we've been talking about that for a while giving players the opportunity to make money by spreading them, turning casual players into activists and entrepreneurs. And let's see. So Ole is the managing director at Immortal Games Limited. All right. Now, this is one thing that we've talked about a lot over the years. Why isn't there a voluntarist, libertarian, freedom-oriented liberty games? What's up with that? How come we don't have that? It seems like such a powerful genre that we could, you know, dominate, but it's not done. So I ask you, Ole, when you came into this, is there a competition? Is there other opportunities for people to learn and stuff, a freedom message and play a game, or are you the first?
I'm actually not aware of any other games that have anything comparable when it comes to actually freedom related content, but I don't know all games, so who knows. But especially because our game is like a choose your own adventure novel type of game, where there's a lot of content in it, you know, of like story and ideas, or stories and ideas. That, I think, is unique. I don't think anybody else has been doing that who's as a liberty-oriented.
And that's one thing. We heard about you, of course, through Davi, but you went to Porkfest, and you kind of released as you were in development stage there. What was... are you going to be presenting again? You're going to market to the same crowd after you've already got ready to launch and so on? Who's your people?
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely the people that we expect and hope that we will appreciate this game. There would be a mainstream market for it as well, we hope. But it's a little bit like you need to build a hype and get it, you know, like trending out there. And so we feel like it's a very natural audience because several of the writers are, let's say, free thinkers and voluntarists and very, very good storytellers. So it's a natural first step to focus on that segment, but we're definitely planning to spread it and try to reach new audiences that have maybe never heard about this type of ideas before as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the game itself. You know, tell me, you have different storylines and the method of play and what it, tell me about it. You know, how, because the cells, the graphics up here are interesting. How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually very simple as far as gameplay goes. You don't need skills to play this game, so it's something which basically anyone can play. As long as you enjoy the stories. So it's basically like a choose-your-own-adventure novel, but just in a gaming format. Right? So it's like a digital choose-your-own-adventure novels. So I would compare it to, or our goal is to have it a little bit like a Netflix version of digital choose-your-own-adventure novels, where people can choose between genres and different types of stories. So far, we started with three. We have three more that will be published within the next month. And then we plan to expand from there. And anyway, so the gameplay itself basically leads you through stories where you can make choices along the way that affect what happens to you. And that's the essence of it. I mean, you collect certain icons and stuff that you can convert into something that you, again, can buy extra bonus content from and stuff like that. But mostly, it is really like a choose-your-own-adventure novel.
Okay, now when you do, you choose one of these adventure novels, you go through the process, and at the end, you're, is there an end, or is it keep playing and you kill more zombies or whatever, or is it, you know, you have a termination of the game?
Well, it's very different than what most people would imagine when they think of the word game, because really, it is like a novel where you read text that people are speaking with each other and you play as some of the characters. And you can make certain choices for what that character should do in different situations, but it's purely text and the still graphic based. So it's not like you need skill to try to kill somebody or anything like that. So it's more like instead of reading a novel, you play or you see the graphics. You read the text and you make different choices. So it's kind of just bringing a novel much more to life, and you actually have a say of what happens. That's really.
So how long, if you went through and you're just sitting down, you pick one of them and you go, all right, I'm going to take this to, you know, the end. I'm going to be playing for how long?
Well, at the moment, it's, yeah, let's say you choose, because Davi is writing two of the stories. One of them is in there now. And if you play that one, it takes you maybe about an hour, between an hour and a half. Then you played through what's there. But this is the beginning, and we're planning regular releases of new chapter content. So it's a bit like, it, you can imagine a TV series where you start by watching the first episode, and then next week there comes another episode, etc. Right? And then over time, this game will contain probably hundreds, if not thousands, of chapters of different stories. So that's the basic format.
What's the interface that people have playing the game and communicating anything? Do you have like a forum or somebody goes, well, I want and I desire and I would have, and are you guys working on this one storyline of you know, Hobbit strip dancing or something. I mean, whatever. They got a demand for something. We need to talk about the base on Mars, or, you know, I mean, how do you determine what storylines you're doing?
That's a very good question. So far, what I've done is to pick, let's say, people who are, like myself, free thinkers with a lot of life experience and who are also very experienced storytellers, although in pretty different formats. And I just have been, it's basically people that I've known since many years, and they have been working on these stories in their own head for a number of years, and Davi is one of them. I mean, Davi and me came up with the idea for his second story, but he, the other one, has been working on since years, The Ghost of Blanaby. And so I'm looking at stories written by people who I believe are honest, caring, and very deep thinkers, and are really good storytellers, that are not too demanding as far as, you know, payment for rights or stuff like that, because we're doing this on a limited budget from the beginning. So people who see a win-win potential here. And Davi is definitely somebody who I've been listening to him, you know, on different podcasts since many years, and been reading articles from him. And yeah, since the beginning, I thought about, like, I definitely would like to have stories from him if he's interested. And then we have John Vibes, who's let's say alternative media journalist and also author, who I've also been thinking since years that's a suitable author. And then.
How did you guys? You're in Norway, right?
I'm actually in Bali, in Indonesia. The company is based in, like, our publishing company is in the UK, but the production is actually done in Indonesia.
So that's who does the grab? I mean, this is like labor. I mean, you know, somebody sit down and head down plow on this. I mean, I imagine, of course, you're managing it and such. But I'm what I'm looking for. Where's the talent in the illustration? You know, Davi does a lot of this stuff, but he's not really, you know, working on the illustrations, or is he? I haven't even asked him.
No, I'm not doing the graphics on this. I'm just doing writing.
So who's doing the graphics?
I mean, I can tell who's doing the graphics, and maybe Davi can say what he thinks about the quality of it, but let me first mention. So I've found Indonesian graphic artists. They're all from the same university in a big town on Java, the biggest island in Indonesia. And yeah, we've been fortunate to hook up and find like a group, like a big pool of graphic artists that I would consider to be extremely talented. And which is one of the reasons why we could make something like this on the budget that we do, because in Indonesia, people don't expect similar salaries like in the West, although these guys are probably going to make very good money once this is successful. But it has helped us to build it on a limited budget. But maybe, Davi, you can say what you think about the quality level.
The graphics team has been amazing. It's like a whole team of people. And, like, I'm writing a script, right? So I'm mainly writing dialogue, but then I'll include, like, a description of a new character or a description of a new background, and, like, maybe I'll do some Google imaging to say something like this, right? And then, you know, almost right away, it's, like, kind of magic how fast they work. Like, I'll get a draft, and it's like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, yeah, that's great, but, like, add, you know, ears and shoes and whatever, like, add whatever. And so, like, there's this ongoing process that we've got in this chat group of, like, developing all of the images from step one on until completion.
How do you encourage these graphic artists to participate with future payment or add to their portfolio for school or their resume? Or how do you encourage them to participate?
I mean, they get good payment compared to alternatives because, I mean, the wages in Indonesia are just on a totally different level. It is a, let's say, developing country. And yeah, so they're not spoiled, and there are quite many, like, it's so many talented graphic designers in Indonesia. Like, we're struggling to find as many talented programmers, but art, like, that's fantastic here. So,
well, Indonesia itself, you know, the area or the country or where the of Indonesia is, how many people? I thought it was some ridiculous amount, like 100 million or something. I mean, it's a lot, isn't it?
250 million, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's, you know, like America. So, I mean, you got, you know, America, I don't know how many we claim now, 330 million or something, but you get a couple hundred million, you got a pool to pick from, okay? So, I'm just, there's a lot of people there without as many opportunities. They got this kind of talent they want to show the world. So, they're getting exposed to the world, so I'm sure they're digging that. Plus, they're cool with their friends. Hey, how many games are you doing worldwide? And that is one thing, you had the release. You decide, you go, oh, Facebook. Do we love Facebook or not? What would we think about Facebook? Oh, wait, tell me about Facebook.
Well, I'm not a big fan. so, yeah, I mean, I know you're aware of the situation, but yeah, so just when I was about to publish, basically, then my Facebook account got disabled without any notice, and there's no way that I can contact them about it. It says, like, it's an automated message which says that I can appeal, which of course I did, and the appeal was represented by me sending a copy of my passport, which I did, and then they said you can expect an email from us shortly. And this was basically in the middle of December, and I've heard absolutely nothing. So that was not 100% optimal, but what can you do?
Okay, so it was you're wanting to release it, you're ready to go with this, and all of a sudden, and Facebook goes, I think we'll decline. You're not allowed to promote or talk anymore because we played your game and I learned too much, or you'll screw the youth's minds, or they don't have to have a reason. They just cause, you know. So I'm wondering any kind. See, this is what I mean. You want to know why there aren't any freedom-oriented voluntarist games out there? Well, here you go, because they don't want there to be.
I mean, I'm not going to claim that I know the reason why it happened. It was just a very strange coincidence that it happened, especially considering that I'm the author of a story, which is really, if the whole background for the story, like before it starts, focuses on a world where actually Vermin Supreme is running for president and looks like he could be winning. During that, and that's partially because there's so much limitation of individual freedom and so much data that's being tracked and shared with NSA and stuff like that. And gradually, like people with individual, or folks with individual rights, they actually end up voting for comedians who actually seem to make more sense with what they're saying that's serious. And then, anyway, so it kind of escalates in different directions because you have something called Safebook that takes over as your safe space on the internet where they, of course, track everything, censor anything that they are sure that you don't want. Of course, you don't have a say in the matter. And then at one point, suddenly there's a giant tsunami that kills the whole population on the Caribbean island. And suddenly Vermin and a bunch of voluntarists, they end up moving to that island, but we don't know why. It's going to take a while to find that out. But anyway, so this is kind of the backdrop, and it's in your face from the beginning if you check my story. And it's just interesting because I'm criticizing the social media giants very strongly and very clearly, and then suddenly I'm shut down just before I'm publishing the game about it. So yeah, it's a funny coincidence.
Okay, yeah. What do you think, Dov? I mean, you know, there's it's you're having some satire, you're making fun of social media, you're going there going, oh yeah, well, that you're not allowed.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to fathom any sort of above board reason that they could have done it, because I've been friends with Ole for a long time, and I've never seen anything remotely like violating their terms of service or anything like that. Like, so I don't know what it could be.
Well, violating the terms of service is you violate my feels. You violate, I don't like it. I violate.
Yeah, but there's like a trend. Like, you can at least observe a trend about the type of things that Facebook would tend to ban.
Wow, right? You think there's a whole bunch of libertarian, freedom-oriented stuff out there? Is that what you're thinking?
No, but that's a perfect example, right? So, like all the cop block groups got banned from Facebook. And so you could say, well, if Ole was acting like a cop block group, at least there'd be a precedent. But he doesn't say anything like a cop block group. You know what I mean? Like, they ban fascist groups occasionally. And so maybe you could say there's a pattern. It's like, but there's nothing on Ole's page remotely like a fascist group. So, like, there isn't any smoking gun in this case.
There is to me. Whenever you have a popular genre of access to young minds, and you're not programming them the way that has been predetermined they want is like it needs to be, you know, rock the vote. I mean, if you're like, voting, this is all big giant thing, and the end of the day we go and we vote, you know what I mean? They jump all over that, you know.
Sure.
If you're going down, you're totally deprogramming what they've been doing in the herd mentality of whatever, and you get a freedom, because once you, how do you unlearn the truth? Once you got it's the truth, a young mind can't unlearn it. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I was so such an advocate of having freedom-oriented games, and even a pew-pew-pew-pew shooter game or something, if the end goal... There was one... It was something about Atlantis, and it had references to Atlas Shrugged and kind of stuff in it, and it was, you know, more traditional...
Not boilerplate, but...
Yeah, whatever. Well, but anyway...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So I can't remember the name. Bioshock.
I don't remember the name of it, but it was... But it was, I'm going, wow, this is cool, and boom, you know, it's not promoted, they, you know, shut you down. Yeah, I'm just, so I've seen the pattern. It is a very deep control mechanism. You know, you think you're creative and clever by coming up with something that doesn't violate any terms of any, it just gets them to think. And a lot of that, so we'll go over some of the games here, but getting people to think is the threat. You know, I mean, you, Ole, you're the threat, man. You're going to get young people thinking. We can't have that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you may definitely be right about that. I'm not somebody who tries to, you know, make a strong claim of what happened here, but definitely, there's definitely a possibility that you are right, and there's definitely, I'm sure you're right when it comes to their. Just philosophy in general, like that. Why do this liberty-oriented pages, for example, just get shut down without any notice and have to start off again from the beginning after having millions of likes? Like, that's one reason why John Vibes joined us to begin with, because he could see that he couldn't base his income on writing articles for that sort of sites, because suddenly the revenue just drops to almost nothing because they have to start it all over again. So I mean, anyway, there are all kind of signals that they're sending that you can observe, but and I think you're really spot on when it comes to that. When your target is to try to make young people think, and you actually have something that young people could like and make them want to think, then that's not what these kind of people want. So you may be right on.
I'm not left on, I'll tell you. It's a pattern. I've seen this. They can't encourage this kind of stuff. And even when they do have it, they want to isolate it. They put you in your echo chamber. Yes, I've got hundreds of thousands of, you know, subscribers, and I do, and yada, I go, yeah, you know, but it's the same 100,000 that subscribe to some other thing, and they're not allowing it to go viral. It's not, you know, they keep you compartmentalized and contained, and that containment may get bigger, but it's not, the growth is not the exponential you expect from when things really go viral if it was just left alone. They want to manage us. They want to I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's a very good point, yeah.
So it's a lot of, I got to have Facebook to get the word out. Now I'm going, no, you don't, because you're not. They're not going to allow it. It's a wasted time. That was one thing that we were going over, in fact, yesterday. Last night, while Davi is still here, he leaves in a couple days, and he'll be here for a little bit. But the whole thing was what social media. We're going on a big tour, bus thing for a year, starting in May, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And what social media are we going to use? Are we going to use one? And in parallel, we've been developing Freedom's Phoenix for a decade and a half on this. God, since 03, when's that? You know, that's 05. That's, 15 years. So 15 years we've been doing this, and it seems like there's nothing really better for what we want to do than Freedom's Phoenix. I mean, we'll put some other social media, we'll have this page and that and so on, but, you know, everything that we wanted to do, we have to, we'll just do it ourselves. And with IPFS, Interplanetary File Sharing, Derek has been working on to where all the things that we want to do, it's getting better and faster and more servers for us just to bypass everything and do it ourselves. So I'm going, okay, they'll make us do that, and then they get Starlink and a, you know, satellite-based internet or a mesh network, or wherever we're going, you know, peace out and bocadillos, we're going over here because you guys suck, you know? That's what I see is happening, and it's going to be happening worldwide. It's not just, it's like the United States is the only market. And then you have, of course, China, and they put up their firewalls. And you got Europe, Africa's coming online. South America start coming online. It'll be worldwide. This is going to be a totally different sea change, and I believe 2020 is the year. This is the time. And to have games and a presence like what you're doing here is a tool for that. How do you guys make money? Do you take sponsorship? Can I sponsor a game? Can I, how do I get, you know, I see, you know, I hear you got some pirates out there, you know, somebody, we do some pirating. You know, I want to know, how does someone that's supportive of this get involved and then use it for marketing or some kind of incentive? You know, what opportunities do you have?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a free-to-play game, which is basically very normal for this type of story-driven games. And I mean, just so to mention it, the story-driven game market, like the choose-your-own adventure novels, the digital ones, it's a very big market for smartphones and tablets. So that's one reason why we decided to get into it in the first place. So it's free-to-play, but for certain content, you need to actually spend money, otherwise you don't get access. So we try to be pretty nice about it, but at the same time, we don't charge a lot for the extra content. So it's a bit like, hey, if you like this and you support it, it's not made by itself, so please also then spend a little bit. And another thing is that we give a certain amount of chapters available per day for free. And if you want to play more than that, then you have to also pay to speed it up. And
so how expensive is it? It can be. I want to go through the whole thing. Mission Control, man. I want to get Mission Control. I want to get all the way through it. I go through it. I want to get all the goodies and everything. What's the potential revenue you can get from a single player on that game?
Well, it really depends when they're joining it, because at the moment we don't have so much content in it. But let's say in 6 months, maybe we have something like 20 chapters for Mission Control. And so let's say it costs you $1.50 per chapter. So then you play 20, then that's $30. Then you get all the bonus content for all the chapters. As long as you're patient enough to wait for each, you know, like let's say if you're a new player and you want all the 20 chapters at once, then you suddenly have to pay like maybe a few $100 to get all of it.
Now, so, on all the different games or one individual?
Well, it depends on the amount.
It depends how big and how much. You could spend all your money with you if you wanted to. So we have plenty of opportunities for you to give us money.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm not shy about that either. This is not an easy game to make. It costs quite a bit of money.
No. You got to get paid, you know, somehow. You know, one of the things is, I think where your biggest opportunity is a lot of people entertain themselves and want to do it, and they're supporting the fact that it's promoting freedom, you know, and they're going, look, if you're going to be spending money on a game, you know, get learnified, you know, support this kind of stuff, be the change, because this is, if you don't support this stuff financially, you're not going to get more of it. And a lot of times when I invest or give money, whether I even, you know, play the game or take the time or not, that's not the point. A lot of times I go, all right, here's $30 and I get a game. Okay, cool. You know, do keep making, you know, for people. So I can see this as a cause, a movement, a support for a lot of people that would participate and give money just to have it continue and expand, whether they enjoy doing it or not. It's a genre. So I wouldn't be surprised if you have, you know, half the people supporting what you're doing as an activist thing and never even play the game. I mean, you know, I don't care. You know, give them money. I want to max out on my what, and when I got nothing else to do. I'm sitting there, I'm going through the game, you know, going, eh, cool. Because a lot of these, and that's what I want to do now, I want to go through some of the games here. Let me pull up, there's a graphic that has all the games sitting there, and we'll go through them one at a time. You know, one thing I did want to mention, the graphic on the surfboard, there's one called Promoter in Paradise.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that about?
Ollie, you might know better than me. My understanding, because I haven't played it, my understanding is it's sort of the romantic comedy in the bunch.
Yes, it is. We're trying to cater to many different types of audiences because, you know, we want diversity, and I would like to have something that's maybe more specifically for women. It doesn't mean that men will not like it or that the women will not like the other stories, but this is kind of like the writer himself calls it a chick flick. So it is basically a romantic comedy, but there are two aspects to it that made me feel like, yeah, this is still a good fit. And one is that it's exotic, it's in Bali, it's a clash of cultures, you know, that sort of thing. And it is a self-empowering story, like you're going through the life, you see life through the eyes of a young Balinese woman who's dealing with a tough situation. But also dealing with the tourism and expats and all the stuff, the wild stuff that's going on in Bali. So I like it.
It's a way to learn about a culture and get a, you know, feel for, and then it's a relationship thing and so on. I tell you, the reason I stopped on it, every time this graphic comes up, we're rotating graphics for the audience up here, sells, so it's pretty, is the logo on the surfboard. You know that it's a female shape. It's just I can't stop looking at it. You know, I'm just going, I really like that graphic. It's just an idea of a feminine thing. I get, you know, that's, well, I just want props to whoever came up with that, you know, surfboard logo. I just like it, you know. So I mean, you know, sometimes things draw, and it's certainly being featured here, but I'm going, you know, give the guy two thumbs up. I like it. All right, now let's go ahead. I wanted to find the one that had, there it is. Okay, we want you for our experiment. First one there, Mission Control. Probably have Davi tell me about that one. All right, this is your authoritarian sociopathy thing that you promoted back in the day.
Yeah, essentially. So the premise of Mission Control is that you begin the game as one of two sort of a military drone pilots, and you're selected for this special, you know, super intelligent top secret program.
Oh, the network's on! We're going to court. See, right when we're getting into the goody, then they come on and they do the commercial. Seriously. Okay.
We'll come back after.
Yeah, we'll come back with it and get that. And we'll go through these real quick. Yeah, one more segment here. I want to get each one of these. And they're all interesting ideas. And I want to make sure people understand why it's a freedom-oriented game and support. We'll be right back.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
There are basically two types of advertising: direct response and branding. Radio's great for direct response with its low cost-to-listener ratio, but audio can't be beat for branding, which is a longer-term endeavor. You want to be the first thing that someone thinks of when they think about your product or service. If you have a local business that you want kept top of mind in your community, call this.
I don't know what was going on with the network. They contacted Donna and said they had to reboot the server or something. But the so hopefully they'll come back at the right with the right stuff. Okay, when we come back, I'll go straight to Davi, and he'll finish up on Mission Control and tell that. And then we're only going to be able to do about a minute, 90 seconds on each one. Okay, Ole?
Sure.
Okay, I have six up here. Is that how many there are now?
Yep.
Okay. All right, that's what we'll do. When we come back, Davi will finish up on mission control, and then we'll go straight through these. I have, let's see, it goes paper squares, purple stars. We already talked about In Paradise, Beyond Limits, Ghost of Blanaby, and Immortalized. Immortalized, what's Immortalized? I didn't know about that one.
That's my story. And actually, it includes a bunch of liberty-oriented people, and even Davi is a character in that one.
Oh, so, cool. Yeah, I see. That's one thing we got to tell in Mission Control. That looks like Larkin.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta bring that up, you know. So we'll get that in there. All right, we'll be right back.
Own server with a bunch of channels at discord.lrn.fm. You can join other listeners as they chat about various things during our live shows or anytime, day or night. Discord software is available cross-platform, so you can have it on whatever device you want and take your chats anywhere. Join our Discord at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm.
I always dreamed of providing the nation with concise recaps of the week's events. One fateful summer in 1934, legendary onion mogul T. Herman Zwiebel was passing through our town to acquire an oil derrick when he overheard me calling in the oxen in my breathy baritone and offered me the opportunity of a lifetime. Yes, from the turbulent war times of the 1940s.
The Onion welcomes the majestic Axis armies as conquering heroes.
To the free-spirited 60s.
And remember, there's nothing more cosmic than keeping your house insulated with Thermoflake brand asbestos.
I can truly say I've been here for the turning of the ages. But now, viewers, my beautiful 19-year-old wife and I will take our much-deserved retirement to my Genevan chateau. I wish all of my detractors empty, destitute lives. And for my allies, I hope for all the pleasures availed by heaven. So, finally, let me say one last time. For more, keep checking TheOnion.com.
This is the Onion News Network.
Live video of our key New Hampshire-based shows is streamed on DLive. Please follow and share at DLive.LRN.FM. That's DLive.LRN.FM.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what we do. Okay, this is very interesting. I want to get through each of these games here. They're available as a one. Because when you do the download, Davi, you just download it, right? Onto your phone.
Yeah, you get it in the app market like any other app on your
Android.
Well,
how much
phone.
Memory does it take? You know, 47 minutes to download, or is it play off a server? What?
It doesn't take 47 minutes. I don't know the size of the file off the top of my head, but it takes like a couple minutes.
Well, answer that real quick. You know, it's we download it. What am I downloading?
It's about 60 megabytes, and it will be some more gradually as you play through the stories, but you initially download 60 megabytes. So, yeah, it's not taking up huge amount of space in the beginning, but if you keep playing, you know, into the next years, then maybe it will take up some space.
Well, I'm not that was another thing we talked at Porkfest. I'm wondering, you know, you interface or get in, sign in through Facebook. Are you doing that still, or are we sending them data or whatever? How much you love it on Facebook now?
I'm definitely not loving it on Facebook, but it is a very practical tool to use. So yeah, we offer the player three options. You can log in through Facebook, log in through Google, and I mean, yeah, sorry, that's the two big brother companies if there ever were any, but then you can also play as guest if you prefer it. So that's how we do it.
So logging in, to log in to the game, you have to, I mean, you can't log in without Google or Facebook, is that what you're saying?
No, you can log in as guest. Then, you're still using a device that from either Apple or, you know, Google Play. So, for Apple or Google, so I mean, how much, what, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's so, the access, you know. I'm just wondering, when you say as guest, if I download the game onto my phone, is it all there, or is it interacting with the server?
It's interacting with the server. So it gradually downloads different stuff in the background, And yeah, then when you play new chapters, then it downloads stuff. So,
but I mean, in that download, like you say, it's an app store. I mean, it goes through iOS or it goes through Google Play or whatever, and yeah. It comports to whatever. Okay, geek stuff. All right. So, real quick, Mission Control, go, Dobby.
Yeah, so you start out playing a drone pilot, and you're recruited by this agency, Mission Control, and it's sort of like taking authoritarian sociopathy and turning it on its head. Like, the in-universe story is there's this government agency that's trying to use the best psychological research to take control of the planet, like, because their idea is all conflict is psychological first. And so you, as a test subject, are helping this nefarious agency learn how to control people's minds for the government. But that means that you get to discuss all of the research from the authoritarian sociopathy. You get to discuss the Milgram experiment and the Stanford Prison experiment and all this other research. And I'm going to come up with my own. Like, the first mission is a drone mission that's sort of based on Milgram, but not really. It's an independent thing. But the third chapter, which is the latest one published, is the Milgram experiment. Like, you can just play through it using the same script Milgram used.
Really? Mm-hmm. So this is an educational thing.
Oh yeah.
And you're doing something with the Ghost of Blanaby. Tell that story real quick.
So Ghost of Blanaby, I don't know if how popular it is outside California, but there's a place in California called the Winchester Mystery House that was built by Sarah Winchester, who she's dead now, but she used to own the Winchester Rifle Company. And she believed that her house was haunted by everyone who was ever killed by a Winchester product. And so she built this meandering maze of a house with, like, trapdoors and fake doorways and fake stairways.
To trick the ghosts.
And so the game is premised on the idea that you are one of four paranormal investigators, kind of like the Ghostbusters, who go into the Winchester Mystery House and uncover the stories of these ghosts. But, like, because of that, like, I get to talk about the history of the Winchester rifle. I get to talk about the history of any figure who's ever been killed by a Winchester and resurrect them as a ghost. And
good, bad,
and,
whatever.
Yeah, all of the above, right? And so it's sort of this opportunity to sort of talk about, you know, firearms and the history of firearms. Because they call the Winchester rifle the gun that won the West, right? And so, like, if you've seen, like, a cowboy movie, it was probably a Winchester.
Yeah, it won the West. It won it from somebody.
Yeah. But so that's the other thing, right? It's like, it's an opportunity to talk about Native American history, first and foremost. That's the obvious one. But the other thing is, like, Winchester rifles armed the Turkish military, the Korean military. Like the Winchester rifle has gone all over the world and fought in, like, lots of wars.
It's, like, the old AK-47.
Yeah. And so, like, if you're going to have this place where all these ghosts end up, you're going to have, like, thousands of ghosts show up in California who have no idea who these other ghosts are and don't even speak the language. So,
well, that's an interesting storyline. Okay, Oleg, tell me about Paper Squares and Purple Stars, my trials and tribulations as a raver or something. I mean, what's that about?
Yeah, that's written by journalist and author John Vibes, who it's based on a true story, although not all of it is actually, you know, what really happened. But he used to organize pretty big rave parties on the East Coast back, like, 10 to 15 years ago. So this is the story about some of his wild adventures there. And so it's like addressing the war on drugs a lot, and basically how it is to be the outsider in society who's not allowed to do whatever they want with their own bodies, even if they're not harming anybody, you know? Like, very, very, almost like hippie-like mentality when it comes to how to treat other people, and at the same time they could get arrested and beaten up and getting into all kind of trouble while trying to live, you know, let's say underground. And in the underground scene also, it's pretty dangerous in many cases because there is no law that protects you. So it's kind of takes the player through that kind of setting in a very realistic way, but also very interesting and exciting storyline. So,
okay, yeah, tell me about Beyond Limits.
Yeah, so Beyond Limits is basically set 400 years into the future after the, like, artificial intelligence took over planet Earth and gave humans basically a few decades to get out, and so everybody had to get out. And then they have built up different colonies on different planets based on different religions and Nationalities and stuff like that, and then
so yeah, this sounds like our last letter of Captain Mark, 10th letter we just finished.
Yeah, it's
beyond limits, beyond the grasp of the crown.
It's the one I'm excited about. Like I that's the one I play for fun. All the other ones I play for work.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, Immortalized, the one that you're behind. That is interesting. I know you told us a little bit about it. Just give us a quickie before we run out of time.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's basically the story of two young people, one, handsome young man and a beautiful young woman who are exploring a lot of things because they want to make a computer game, and in the process they meet a bunch of voluntarists living on this island, and so that includes a bunch of real people, actually, so like Vernon Supreme and Professor CJ, even Davi, and Larkin Rose, and, yeah, a bunch of others. But it also has some kind of Boondock Saints elements to it, with hacking and power elites trying to go after the ones who are trying to, uncover the truth and stuff like that.
Each one of these is a reason to ban you on Facebook. I mean, I don't know what the hell you were thinking. It was an accumulation of, if it wasn't one, it sure as crap was an accumulation of them. You know, they're going, and I think we'll decline. You're going to get the youth thinking and, going down a whole day. Hell no. Hell no on so many hell no levels. Which is all the more reason to download it. So where do they go to download?
I would go via the immortalgames.co.uk website.
Okay, wait. Do that, slower. Immortalgames.what?
Yeah, so immortalgames.co.uk.
.co.uk, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you go immortalgames.co.uk, and the download's on your phone. How long does it take to download, Doc?
A couple minutes.
All right. Now, is it ready? Can I go do it now?
You can do it on
Android and iOS, and I can do it right now. I go there and I get some.
Yeah, for iOS at the end of the week. For Android right now.
Right, Android right now, iOS end of the week. This is just starting. Because I've known you guys have been working on it for at least, I've known about it. Well, it hadn't been that long.
Since Porkfest, at least.
Yeah, so it was, spring. Yeah, it's gone pretty fast. When did
I started 3 years ago.
Wow. Is it coming out better than you thought it would? Good? You're happy? What?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm very happy. That's why it's taken so long. People have been waiting for a long time, and now it's finally out. And it's because we wanted to make it awesome, and we think it is.
Awesome! Get some awesome! ImmortalGames.co.uk.
Revealed that legislation.
There we go, Ole. Sorry about the rough start, but we got it in there.
Yeah, sorry from my side, too. I have some sound issues as well. But yeah, no, that was great.
Yeah, this is, we'll get, later today, Donna will send you the copy of the show. You'll get the MP3 and the video that we, produced with having the cells up here and so on, so people can see how it looks. It looks awesome. And I'm really glad that you got, some enthusiastic people to work with you on it. And I think they're getting a great platform to demonstrate their abilities, and it's just a wide variety. I mean, each one of these is so interesting. The rave thing, you would think that you wouldn't know or think that you got, but you want to learn something. Like, in Paradise, you learn about a culture, you learn about, different age, you get some geography in there, you get some social differences in some country. It's awesome way. There's going to be people, countries, places, locations, companies, whatever is going to pick me. We want you to do one of ours and sponsor, and as long as we get our logo on the surfboard or something. I mean, I can already see marketing opportunities here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're even planning to offer that some people could pay to get their character as part of one of the stories.
Hell yeah. I want to be thinner. I want to be...
Well, Ernie could easily be Francis Mundy because he's a radio host.
Who's Francis Mundy? Which one's that?
He's the narrator of Ghosts of Blandaby. He's the guy, you've probably seen him in some of the clips up there where he's like, he's sitting behind his microphone, he's got his mobile studio with his projector and all that stuff. And so he is both the most popular morning radio show in Blandaby, California, but he's also the narrator of the show.
So that guy,
the narrator
right there.
Of the story. Yeah, okay. That guy.
Yeah, he's Stenner. All right, so
he's older though.
Make sure you say that. I'm really excited about this because I know I've been hearing the development of it and kind of how it's been going from Davi, and I'm excited about it. And I know that what really got me interested and I wanted to talk to you is when Facebook, right when you're getting ready and you're going to launch, you got the world in, not so much, you know. Yes. And I'm going, yep. Did it surprise you though? I mean, were you really surprised or just pissed or inconvenienced or what?
I mean, yeah, it did surprise me because I've been on Facebook for so long and I didn't really see that coming. But now in retrospect, like, if you are correct that it was intentional.
Of course it was intentional! Wow! We've had this conversation at Porkfest, you remember?
Yes.
I'm going, look, man, I'm telling you that you're, whatever. Anyway, yeah. So I'm not, yeah, I got to say it. Told you so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're right about that, yeah. Yeah, well, anyway, the thing is, even if that happens, like, as you can see, we don't try to utilize that as even as leverage.
Hell yeah, which is why you're on, and I'm making a big deal out of it, because you're impactful enough, you had enough good content, you are disruptive enough for that to happen. That is what the deal is. To me, I'm going, yep, they wouldn't ban somebody that wasn't effective. What are they going to do? Ban you because it's bad graphics? Ban you because the story was boring? Ban you? No, they ban you because it is compelling, because it is informative, because it is transformative. It is going to have an impact. It is a genre and a method by which to do exactly what you wanted to do, and they go, damn it. If this gets out, we're in trouble. Well, all the more reason for us to make sure it gets out. And starting in May, Don and I are a year on the road. We're doing the Love Bus Liberty Tour, man. We're going, for a year and be what's up. And I guarantee that I want to have a little bit of something to share and one of the things in the pass out you need to know about Immortal Games, okay? So we'll work on something. We'll make sure we get some props out there for you, okay?
I appreciate it a lot, like seriously. I thank you for the article, and there will be more articles coming up as well. There will be many more interesting chapters coming up where it could be natural topics to discuss. And yeah, I very much appreciate your support and for inviting us.
Yeah, we get enough graphics and enough press and enough logo. We got, a good presence for what we're doing. The Liberty Bus thing, it could be a thing.
You could even put the bus in one of the games. Yeah, that's
hell, it could be a game.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in. All right. Good job, Ole. I'm sorry you went through a bumpy thing, but I'm kind of glad you did, because if you didn't, or it happened later, it would be much more damaging. And now you can see the vulnerability of being dependent on these guys, and you need to bypass it. And we have, and that's one reason why the timing on what we're doing is so important, because I can see, they can always control your ISP. They can always control your how you distribute. They can always control by what you do and do not have access to. Okay, well, I won't say or do this or play that if you'll please let me. No, that was the whole thing, is to get past that kind of control. So I'm going, okay, this is, I see that this happening at this time was perfect. Is that, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun thing. You just keep doing what you're doing, okay? Are you guys going to be all right? You got enough resources to get you going and launch? Or you like, all right, everybody start giving me money?
Well, I wouldn't mind if people would play the game, and we probably need to raise some more money again pretty soon, because this has taken way longer and cost more money than we had expected. But anyway, what we will hope for people to do is to share it, invite friends, and basically, support us in any way they can. And like what you're doing is, of course, huge, and there will be others that will do similar things, and we'll
see what we can do, what the community, the freedom-oriented, whatever, ad, banner, do, we'll do something. I'm feeling it. Yeah, I'm feeling it. All right, I got to get to my next guest, Ole. Hey, thanks a lot. Congratulations on getting this far and getting ready and launching and so on. We'll see what we can do to help.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Peace, brother.
Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.